Praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen. Happy Mother's Day to all the amazing moms out there. I know this day could be full of joy for some and also full of pain for other people. But the beautiful thing is that we have a God who walks with us in both joys and sorrows. So whatever that this day may be holding for you, please know that you're deeply loved and we're praying for you. So as we just heard, today's gospel is about the Samaritan woman. And it's one of those stories that's very rich and very deep if we were to discuss every little aspect of it. We all know the story, right? It starts by Christ leaving Judea to go to Galilee because he wanted to avoid the unnecessary drama with the Pharisees about the baptisms that were happening, right? So he just took himself and left. But he needed to go through Samaria, right? He technically didn't, okay? To get from Judea to Galilee, most people would just go like the logical route would just be straight up, okay? But most religious Jews didn't do that because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along, okay? They had a deep hatred for one another because of some political, religious, and cultural differences between the two. So Jews saw the Samaritans as completely unclean. So if you were to come near them, if you were to talk with them, if you were just to speak with them or touch any of their things, then you would be considered unclean. So what people would do is that they would take a longer route where if this is Judea, this is Galilee, they would go around just to avoid Samaria. So for Christ to actually go to Samaria and not just go, but speak to a woman, and not just speak to a woman, but to actually ask her for water, broke all sort of Jewish laws that the Pharisees had put in place. It actually went against everything that was considered right or religious back then. We kind of read it now as if it's not a big deal, but it was a really, really, really big deal back then. And this is why the gospel said that the disciples were shocked when they saw Christ talking with a woman. But this shows the heart of Christ. Right? This shows the heart of Christ, that he is not about rules and regulations and what's right by our human standards. Okay? But he's about redeeming humanity, redeeming all of us, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever they've done. So it's just something for us to kind of think about. So anyways, we know what happens next, right? He sees the woman and he asks her for water. And at first she's hesitant, like, why are you talking with me? You Jews don't like us. But little by little, she softens up to Christ, and they start having a conversation. Right? Christ tells her to go call her husband, but she tells him that she doesn't have one. And then Christ tells her, you know what? You're right. You've had five husbands, and you're working on your sixth. Bismillah alayki, right? At which point, she precedes him as a prophet. Okay? So before Christ could proceed any longer with the conversation, he had to gently bring her to repentance so that he could reveal himself to her. Because otherwise she would have been too blinded by her own sin and too defensive to really see him as the Messiah. And ultimately, as the bridegroom of her heart that she's been looking for all along. And I think this is where I want to stop by God's grace and talk about these husbands that the Samaritan woman had. Because I think there's something for us to learn from. So to fully understand the symbolism behind that, we need to take a step back and look at the history of Samaria. So when we do, we'll see that Samaria was once part of the northern kingdom of Israel, but over time they lost their way and they strayed away from God. So when the Assyrians, who were north of Israel, conquered Samaria, they filled it with five different races from all the surrounding regions, and each race had their own god that they worshipped. And these gods represented pleasure, material possessions, idolatry, and so on. Okay, so this place was just full of immorality, right? So Samaria was filled with all sort of things that were not true gods being worshipped as the true God. It's as if the Samaritan woman's five husbands symbolized these false gods, each one representing something that she had given herself over in place of the one true God. Of the true bridegroom of her soul. So just as Samaria had been spiritually unfaithful, turning to other gods of foreign nations and all that, this woman had placed her trust in relationships that really couldn't satisfy her deepest thirst. So And now she was with the sixth man, someone who wasn't even her husband, which symbolizes a state of her soul. She was still searching, she was still restless, she was still unfulfilled. And I think this is why Christ needed to go through Samaria, because he was offering her himself as the true bridegroom. He's offering himself as that seventh husband that she's been looking for, which is not a coincidence. The number seven represents completion, it represents perfection, it represents fulfillment. Right? He was the one her heart and her soul were searching for all along. He was giving her himself at that well. He was inviting her to find rest, to find her shelter, to find her security in him. In so many words, he was telling her to stop searching for what your soul needs in places or in habits or in people who could never truly satisfy you. The love, the belonging, the fulfillment, the joy that you're thirsting for is not found in another relationship, in worldly pleasures or in momentary comforts, but it's found in me. Christ wasn't telling her about the five husbands and the boyfriend to shame her, but he wanted to wake her up to the fact that all these years she's been running after things that could never truly quench her thirst, and it was time for her to come home. She was a woman who was laboring and heavy laden, and she needed that rest. And here was Christ telling her to find her soul's rest in him. And what Christ did with the Samaritan woman is something that he's telling us, all of us. Right? He's telling us to go and call the things that our souls are attached to. It could be money, it could be success, it could be popularity, it could be relationships, it could be possessions, it could be habits, you name it. Right? To go and bring them to him, just as he asked the woman to go and call her husband. He wants us to bring the things that we think bring us love, bring us security, bring us fulfillment, bring us freedom, bring us peace, and put them at his feet. Not to shame us, not to shame us, but to make us realize that these things that we're running after pale in comparison to him. That they are that sixth husband who don't quite give us that fulfillment. He wants us to recognize that these things are salty water, not life-giving water. Right? Salt water is water, it looks like water, but the more you drink from the salt water, the more thirsty you become. Right? But the water that he's offering us is the water that our souls need, that living water that we can never go thirsty in. Right? He wants to be that seventh husband of our souls, the one to bring it to complete perfection where we no longer are searching for anything or desire anything but him. But the choice is ours. The choice is ours whether we want to respond to that invitation or not. Right? Do we want to keep drinking from wells that leave us dry? Or will we come to him who's that source of that living water? The Samaritan woman came to the well that day expecting nothing more than another trip to draw water. But she left transformed. She left with a new identity. She was no longer defined by her past or her brokenness, but by the one who saw her, who loved her, and offered her a new life. And that's what Christ wants for us as well. He doesn't just want to adjust our lives, but he wants to completely transform them. He wants to free us from chasing after things that will never satisfy and instead fill us with himself, right? As the only one who could truly satisfy the desires of our hearts. Right? So with that said, how do we go about doing that? How do we go about accepting that invitation? Okay? So we do exactly what the Samaritan woman did after Christ invited her. She did three things. The first thing she did is that she admitted that Christ was right. Okay? She didn't become defensive, which a lot of us do. She didn't deny, which a lot of us do. She didn't end the conversation and walk away, which a lot of us do. But she said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Okay? A lot of times when we come face to face with our sins or our struggles, or somebody points them out to us, we deny them, we hide them, we become defensive, we run away from them. But so long as we do that, we'll never be able to know or experience God in the right way. Right? God is not trying to shame us. He's trying to heal us. Okay. When the Samaritan woman admitted her shortcoming, Christ revealed himself to her as the Messiah, as the Savior, as that bridegroom that she's been looking for. It's as if to tell her, yes, this past life of yours is no more. I'm here to save and redeem you because I love you. Okay. He didn't blame her. He didn't accuse her. He didn't talk her down. He loved her. Okay. He was only able to do that. He was able to only deal with her sin because she admitted it. Okay? By bringing it to him. She brought it to him. She was completely honest. So that's the first step for us as well. True repentance begins with honesty. We have to be willing to look at our hearts and acknowledge the things that we've taken, that have taken God's place in our lives. We have to be honest with ourselves. Whether it's sins or habits or distractions or misplaced priorities, whatever it is, we just need to bring it to Him, not with fear that He's going to punish us or condemn us or guilt us into anything, but with trust that He stands ready to redeem us, ready to save us. But again, do we want that or not? So that's the first thing, is that I have to be honest about my shortcomings. The second thing the woman did was that she left her water pot behind. Okay? So the water pot was probably all that she had to get water from the well, but she left it behind. It represents her old life. Okay? The things that she thought she needed to sustain her, the things that she kept coming back to over and over and over again, but never truly satisfied her. When she encountered Christ, she no longer needed the water pot. Why? Because she found the one who could give her the true living water. And a lot of times we want to go to Christ still holding on to our water pots. Okay? But it doesn't work that way. The water pots that we need to come to Him with are the empty hearts that He could fill Himself. Okay? We can't move forward in the new if we're still holding on to the old. We can't go into a marriage with Christ still having feelings for the old things that kept us back from Him to begin with. It doesn't work that way. So if we want to truly be with Christ, then we need to think about the water pots in our lives and we need to leave behind. Okay? What are the things that we keep returning to over and over and over again, hoping they're going to fulfill us, but they actually never do? Maybe it's a habit, maybe it's a relationship, a mindset, a place that we go to, a sin, whatever it is. Christ invites us to leave it behind, leave that water pot behind, and trust that He alone is enough for us. Trust that He alone will fill our empty hearts that we're trying to fill. And the last thing that she did, the Samaritan woman did, is that she went out and told others. Okay. So this woman, who avoided people to the point that she would come to the well in the middle of the day, this woman who was probably constantly judged and gossiped about for her life choices, this woman who lived in hiding out of shame and guilt and fear of everybody around her, ran into the city willingly, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who changed my life." She went from being a woman of 5 or 6 husbands to being an apostle of the good news of salvation. It's kind of like when somebody gets engaged or married, right? They go on Facebook or Instagram, and they share it with the world. Okay? They don't hide it, but they share the good news with the world. And this is the final step for us as well. When we truly encounter Christ, we don't keep Him to just ourselves. But we proclaim the good news around us by sharing Christ with others. Not just with our words, but by actually our actions. Right? When I come and take Christ on the altar, I need to leave church and give Christ to everybody else. In the way I act, in the way I think, in the way I talk. Right? When we truly encounter Christ, people around us should see the transformation. How we love differently. How we're able to forgive more freely. How we live with joy and peace that the world just can't give us. Okay. This woman who once lived in shame became a preacher of the good news. She became the first apostle. She didn't wait until she had everything figured out. She didn't wait until she was worthy or qualified. She just simply ran and shared Christ and what He had done for her. That's all she did. Right? She didn't make any big theological dialogue around why He's the Messiah and why He's the fulfillment of all the prophecies and all that. She just spoke about her experience with Him. Why? Because He truly touched her heart. So when Christ truly touches our heart, we're able to do that. I don't need to go into big theological debates, but I could tell Him, I could tell others about my experience with Him and what He's done for me in my life. A lot of times, we hesitate to share our faith because we think we're not ready or we're not knowledgeable enough. Or we're not holy enough. Okay, as if it's only saved for the people that are wearing black. It's not. Okay, but the Samaritan woman shows that all it takes is a heart that's been touched by Christ. If Christ has transformed us, then that alone is enough of a reason for me to go out and say, "Come and see a man who changed my life." So I pray that as we continue to journey through the Holy 50 days, that we use this time to accept His invitation to be our only bridegroom, to be the fulfillment of our heart, by being honest with Him about our shortcomings, by letting go of our attachments or our water pots, and by sharing the good news of salvation with the world around us. And glory be to God forever.